Your name, please.
My name is Martin Luther King, Sr.
And your occupation and position in life?
Minister, pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia.
Dr. Martin Luther King, Sr., do you feel that a man is completely a man, or a man is completely a human being, if he does not have a religious dimension to his life? Mm-mm. Why do you say that, sir?
I don't think any man, not take the scripture for it. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. A man lives before he dies. A man lives and he doesn't die unless he wishes to. I do not personally believe in death. I'm not going to die. Now, a man may exist without God, or God's philosophy, God's teachings, but he can't live without them. Now, many people are existing but refusing to live. I'm living. I'm not existing. I'm living.
Why do you say you don't believe in death?
I don't believe in death because I am personally going to do such a good job as I can do. Every day I live, I'm going to do such a good job that no man living or dead with my capability could do a better job. And those teachings and those examples, those precepts and those behavior patterns that I carried on when I sleep will be still going on. Now, let's give a typical practical example. I ask you, is John Kennedy dead? Or is his teachings still going on, or his statements, or his... I heard him the other morning said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. We still need this.
Well, do you think that your
son... Is Martin Luther King dead? They still, all around mail come stating, we looked upon your son as our Moses, our hero. Our little Jesus. I didn't say that. They said that. Now, this is the way they're trying to describe. I'm a better man because of his teachings and his philosophy. He's living on in people like that. He's living on in the little girl that's getting married in a few days and who says, I waited like Dr. King taught us until I was sure that I'm ready. And I went about getting the man, type of man that he taught us when he preached us about the measure of a man. Is he dead or is he living?
How does a person deal with grief? How do you advise a person to deal with grief? How do you deal with grief in your own life?
Well, rarely have I preached to a new group, and much of my preaching today is in predominantly white congregations. I don't choose, it just happens that way. And if I haven't spoken to them before, it's good to be with you today. But let me rush to tell you, I'm not bitter. I don't hate anybody or anything. I have no prejudice in my heart against anybody. And I'm not color conscious. And I'm not. then let me rush also to say to you, I am your brother, no matter the color of your skin or the texture of your hair or what you have in your bag or what you're wearing or your formal training or what else. I'm your brother. Now, you may want to argue it out. You may not say, you may not accept me as your brother. I'm yours. Or you might want to argue about it. You want to decide. You might want to raise the color question. That's up to you and God. I'm not going to argue it with you. I'm not going to debate it, even debate it with you. I've got a job to do, and I'm going on with it. I'm your brother. I leave it for you and God to settle whether you're going to be mine. I'm not bitter. And I'm not. And I mean this.
How did you avoid being bitter?
Well, I think I had an experience that maybe some others didn't use if they had it. From a boy. See, I was beaten as a little boy and torn my little clothes off by whites trying to force me to do something, and my mother had sent me on errand to do something else. Then I saw in as a larger boy than this when a white man who the man we was sharecropping with. And this family lived on the same farm, and this boy was my friend. And his boy, this white man's boy, and this Negro boy had had some misunderstanding, and they were out to get him, to beat him. And they rode, I was in the buggy with them, they rode on till they found this boy. And then the father threw his gun on the boy and made him fall on the floor, stop walking and fall down. He held a gun and let his boy just beat him. And I showed resentment, and he said to me, "Look like you don't like this." I said, "Well, I don't, because he's my friend. But come on, let's go before we have to beat the hell out of him." They didn't beat me, I don't know why. We went on home, and I told my parents about it. And this boy's parents was there, and I told his parents, but they were afraid that he asked them why they beat his boy. And I told my daddy I wasn't going to apply no more for that man. I was through. Those two events said to me, I'm going to hate a white man the rest of my life. Wherever I see one, I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to hate him. I was a boy. I'm toying with this. 16, when I started to be a preacher, this hate was still wrapped up in me against a white man. And then I began to read that word. I read that word said, "Forgive those who despitefully." I read that in that word where it said, to hit you on one side of your cheek, turn the other. I read in that word where it said, put up your sword. I read in that word of the destruction of hate, and I began to get rid of it. And I kept on until... Then I began to make deductions and offered my own personal appraisal. The folks that did that to you, as I get to be a man, are dead. You're going to hold that against these that had nothing to do. Even that man's grands, they weren't there. And I began to toy with this, and I put down hate. And I began to preach love for every man. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this has become a whole part of it. And I've never been more serious in my life. I just don't hate. It's too expensive to hate. You go on and you haven't started to live until you rid yourself of hate any more than you haven't started to knowing God until you begin to love. No man knows God who does not love. And no man can drift so far as to be out of the zone of God's love.